Hello, very good morning to all of you. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We have been away from 1 Thessalonians for a while, the year-end period, and also as we meditated on Psalm 34 for the first month of this year. But we want to come back to 1 Thessalonians, and today we're looking at chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10. And our topic for this morning is concerning brotherly love. Concerning brotherly love. And that is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in verse 9 and verse 10. I'll read these two verses to you again. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Brotherly love. What is brotherly love? This term is a specific term used in the New Testament. It is one single word in the Greek. It is a little bit different from the love that God often speaks of concerning himself, the love that he has for us, and the love that he wants us to have for him and also one another. It is a term specifically referring to love between brethren. Love between brothers and sisters. And so it is therefore rightly translated here as brotherly love. It is actually the word which the city of Philadelphia gets its name from. And so literally in the Greek, in the original, it is the word Philadelphia, coming from two words, phileo, which is a word for love in Greek, and Adelphos, or Adelphia, which is, well, brother or sister. Brethren. Brotherly love. See, in the Bible, we are called to love one another. And that is a love that all only believers can have. It is a love that God has shown us, and it's a love that we are called to express. And we are called to love our neighbor. We are called to love everyone around us with that selfless, unconditional love. But there is also, on top of that, a specific call to love our brethren. It is not a lesser love in any sort of way. It is also the same love that we have been taught of by God, but it is specific to fellow believers, fellow Christians. And we'll see some of that later on. Why is that so? It's because of the bonds and the ties that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because we are seen now, after our salvation, as it were, like one family. Today is the second day of the Chinese New Year. As I mentioned just now, during our Lord's Supper, you see, Chinese New Year, for many of us, for those who are from a Chinese background, it is a time as we come together and we celebrate family, amongst other things, of course. And it is a precious time that, you know, families would often gather. Sometimes they will even travel from overseas, and some of our people have traveled back to their home countries to spend time with their families. Chinese New Year. And, well, what is family about? Amongst family, of course, there is that bond of love that brings us together. Family, they began with a husband and wife, a pledge to love each other. And then God brought children into their lives. And after that, grandchildren. And that becomes, well, a family unit. And what brings them together is the ties of family, but behind that, well, is the ties of love. Now, of course, not every family is blessed with that or enjoys that, and sadly there are times in which the relationship breaks down and families no longer want to come together. But essentially there is that key idea there, isn't it? That we will love one another. Why? Because we are family. Because we have been brought together, yes, by blood, but then also by love. Now, in a sense, as we become believers, as we become Christians, we get added a larger, greater family, a family that goes beyond the ties of, well, you know, biological family bonds. It is a tie that we now celebrate as well, as brothers and sisters in Christ. It is love also that binds us together, and it's this specific term that we see here in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, this Philadelphia, this brotherly love that brings us together. It is a special love. It is a love that we all enjoy. And yes, in a sense, you can say it is a blood, it is a bond of love that is brought about by blood. Not blood in the biological sense where we are blood related one to another, but we are brought together by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the tie that binds us all together. And for that reason, you know, in church, sometimes we call each other brother, sister. Now, some people might find it a little bit strange, a little bit weird. I don't know, why are you calling me brother? I'm not your brother. Yes, you are. You're my sister. Yes, you are my sister. You are my brother. In the sense that we are all now in that family of Christ. We are now, as the Bible says, in the household of God. We are all welcome and, as it were, adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's a great privilege. It's a great blessing. It's a wonderful thing that we can celebrate. The brotherly love that we are all now called to have one for another. Do we have that? Do we understand that? Do we see that as a necessary calling in our lives? That as we enter into this fellowship of love, as we now are part of the family and the household of God, that we are called to love one another. We are called to now show forth the love of God, the love of Christ, to all believers throughout the world. That is brotherly love. That is what the love, that is what the church here in Thessalonica, I mean, they were commended for. Right? Paul recognized that they were a very loving church. And previously he had already commended them for this love. And he had shared, you know, in chapter 3, he says, when Timothy came back, he brought reports about how you're doing, and one thing in particular about them that stood out was their charity. He said that in verse 6, right? He brought us good tidings of your faith and of your charity. But as much as they were known for their love, he did not want them to rest on their laurels and say, oh, I think we're a very loving church, I think we're good enough. No, he says it was something that he prayed for them about. Right, in chapter 3, verse 12, and he says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You know, something that, yes, they were doing well in, but, you know, Paul continued to pray that they will abound in this love. But yet now, as he comes and he talks about, he sort of circles back to this idea or this topic of love in verse 9. He says, again, he commends them. He says, as touching brotherly love, you have need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He says, you see, this is something that I don't need to elaborate too much on. And for that reason, he doesn't. Right? He doesn't sort of extensively, again, explain what is love about, how can we love, who shall we love. But he just gives a very simple line here. And he says, yes, you know. You know how to love. And you are doing well in that department. You are very loving, and you are known for the love that you are showing, not just to the people in your immediate vicinity, but also in all the regions of Macedonia. You know, you are reputed for your love. Now, that is an amazing thing. Yet that should be a thing that all of us would desire for ourselves as well. That can we, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, also take on such a reputation? As, oh, that church, yes, that church in Glacier, a very loving church. Yes, a church that is faithful to the Lord, faithful to the Word of God, but they also exemplify love. Can we do that? Can that be something that we will show forth to the people around us? Because that becomes our testimony. That was the testimony of the church at Thessalonica. They were known for this love. How? How were they so loving? How is it that they knew how to love? Well, Paul says they were taught by God. They were taught by God. What does that mean? Well, of course, for one, it would have begun with the Apostle Paul being there in their midst and teaching them the Word of God. Because you see, the Word of God is replete, complete, full of instructions about love. I mean, for one, we experience the love of God in our lives and in our hearts. We are recipients of God's love, and of course, God then calls us to go forth and to love one another. It's not just a New Testament concept. It was from the Old Testament as well. From the very beginning, there is this call for them to love one another, to have this care and this concern for their brethren, their families, for one another. And so Paul, you know, he does not elaborate too much, but he simply says that as part of your sanctification, one of the topics would have been an instruction on love, but they were doing well in their department, and so he didn't elaborate too much about that. But what are the instructions that the Bible has for us? Because we may not know, right? So while the church at Thessalonica, I mean, they were taught, or they knew how to love, and they exemplified that. Well, how can we also know and learn about these truths? There are a number of verses. I mean, of course, there are many verses in the Bible that speak about love. There are a number of verses in particular, though, that focuses on brotherly love. And I'd like to highlight a few of them to you this morning. The first one is from 1 Peter chapter 1, and that was actually the passage that we read this morning for our responsive reading, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'd like us to turn there, as we also want to be taught of God. We want to be taught of God how to love. That's the first thought we have for the message this morning, how to love. And we are taught of God. And so let us come to the Word of God and see. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, is a verse I want us to refer to. And so it says here, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pure heart fervently. So a few simple thoughts that we have here, right? That firstly, you know, it is part and parcel of our sanctification. That's what, you know, the larger context of chapter 4 is about, right? He's teaching us about how we know about sanctification, and it is through the guidance of the Holy Spirit is in obedience to the truth. That's what love is about. Love is obedience to the truth of God's word, where God has called us to love one another, and we do so in obedience. But not only that, it speaks of an unfeigned love that we have. What is unfeigned? To feign something is to deceive, falsely put up a front or a show. That's what it means to feign something. So it is a love without pretense. It is a love that we do not fake. It is a love that we do not just put up a facade of. It is a genuine love. And that's what it means here. That's one thought that we have about, you know, what sort of love that we ought to have one for another, right? Because it may be that you will come to church and you say, yes, okay, the church always talks about love and we ought to be nice one to another, but you don't really have it. Or perhaps you don't really want to. Or maybe there have been some misunderstandings or conflicts that you have experienced in the past, and you find that maybe within the church, there are certain people that you just don't quite find very lovable. Certain people that maybe you have certain opinions about them. You have certain maybe biases or prejudices. Maybe to you, you feel it's very valid, but you know, it's just a dislike that you cannot let go of. And what do? Put on a facade. You come, you smile, you nod. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. How are you doing? And then you put on that plastic smile. But behind that, oh, that is annoyance, frustration, maybe even anger, maybe even hatred. And there are certain things about this person you cannot forget, cannot forgive. And you hold a grudge, you hold bitterness in your heart, and what you have is a very false, fake, deceitful even, love of the brethren. That is not true love. Brotherly love is one that is genuine. One that you do out of the desire of your heart, where you want to obey the Lord, and because of that, you will now obey the command to forgive. Yes, there may have been wrongs in the past. Yes, they may not be very lovable people. Yes, they may have their quirks. Yes, there are people, even in church, that may come and they're selfish, or they're proud, or they have certain things about them that, yes, they're not quite right. We acknowledge that. But we must still love. Or perhaps even more so, we love more, because these are people that perhaps need our attention. They need our help. Yes, they may not be fully spiritually mature, and there are aspects of their lives that are not yet fully sanctified. And so we show love to them. You know that these people are ones that perhaps can benefit from our love. And yes, you say, oh, but they should know better. They've been in church for so many years. Oh, you know, they are leaders, or they're serving in this and that ministry. We still love them. We all have blind spots in our lives. We all have aspects or parts of our lives that are really not lovable. And yes, they themselves may be struggling or dealing with some of these issues in their own lives. Can we not love them? We should. We must. Because God shows us, God teaches us, that is how we ought to love. And when you think about it, God loved us not because of how lovable we are. God loved us despite of our many flaws and our faults. In spite of who we are, God chose to love us. And that is what God calls us to do one for another as well. That you don't love one another because they are very nice to you, or because they're very pleasant people, or they're so kind and gentle, and they do so many nice things for me, and therefore I love them. No, we love them simply because this is what God has called us to do, to love one another with that unfeigned love for the brethren. It is a genuine love. It is not a fake love. And then he goes on to say that he loved one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. Again, a very strong command or call. And yes, it's a tall order. It's not easy to fulfill. But we do that fervently, with a zealousness, with a passion, with a strong burning desire. That it is something that I want to keep on and proactively do with a pure heart. Again, same idea, right? Not with any mixture of ulterior motives, right? Not with any selfish desires, not with anything where we ask, well, what's in it for me? No, we simply do it out of the pure desire of your heart. You love one another fervently, strongly, passionately. That is what we're called to do. Let's move on. There's another verse also in the book of 1 Peter, and that is in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9. Right, so same, again, we see the idea of loving brethren. So we see the ideas of it being unfeigned, of it being fervently. And here in chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9, I read these verses to you. And he says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, quite a few thoughts here. I'll just very briefly run through some of these ideas here. It begins with unity, being of one mind. Of what mind? The mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind in which we are taught and guided by His Word and by His Spirit. That's the starting point. And he says, have compassion one for another. Consider one another. Consider also and understand perhaps some of the plight and the struggles that they are going through. Do not be so quick to judge. Do not be so quick to stand over another brethren or brother and say, oh, why can't you be like this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this wrong? And why are you having a problem here and there? That is not compassion. Compassion is understanding the struggles that people are going through. Compassion is having also the understanding of the plight, some of the weaknesses that they have. And then coming alongside them in love and saying, well, how can I help? Are there ways that I can encourage this brother or this sister? Are there ways that I can love as brethren? Being pitiful. What does it mean to be pitiful? It's not that, oh, I'm so poor thing, I'm so pitiful. No, it's full of pity. That's the idea there. Full of pity. Right? That you understand that there are struggles that people are going through. Understand that, yes, there are troubles and afflictions that maybe we may not understand as well or as much. And so we come alongside and love them and care for them. Be courteous. Be kind-hearted. It's not just about saying please and thankful, please and thank yous. That's just a very base idea of being courteous. But genuinely, right, to be courteous, not just in our words, in our actions, always showing a consideration and a care of how I can be of a greater blessing. So verse 9 is talking about, right? Yes, they may wrong me at times. Yes, there may be misunderstandings. There may be times in which, yes, I may be offended by certain things that they do or say, but we do not return that. That's what it means, right? Do not render evil for evil, railing for railing. It means even though some of them may offend me or wrong me in a certain way, I don't respond in kind. I am not a vengeful person. But instead, and in contrary, that means opposite to that, right? Yes, they may cause me hurt or harm. Yes, maybe even sometimes in the body of Christ. I mean, that's family, isn't it? That's what happens in family as well. Sometimes we step on each other's toes. Sometimes we offend one another. Sometimes we knowingly, unknowingly, or maybe even knowingly offend. But what do? We shout back, railing for railing. You curse me, I curse you back. You trouble me, I trouble you. No. He says instead, we bless one another. Because ultimately, we are all called to inherit the greatest blessing, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we are full and so rich in terms of blessings. And why are we so petty then in our relationship one with another? Why can't we love one another? Why can't we be giving and generous one to another? Why can't we love? So that's what Peter is saying and speaking of here, writing about this brotherly love that we ought to demonstrate one for another. You know, it's a very, very sad thing. And sometimes we hear about conflict amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, within the church. And sometimes, yes, they say it's doctrinal. Sometimes, yeah, it's about a particular teaching and therefore some sort of conflicts ensue. But more often than not, that is not the case. It is interpersonal problems, disputes. Someone offends another person. And they may have been serving together for so long, serving in the same committees, serving alongside one another. They trusted one another. They cared for one another, spent so much time together. But then something or other happened. Something maybe have been a misunderstanding, may genuinely have been a problem, an error on one person's part. Yes, one person may have been selfish, or one person, you know, may have, you know, offended in a very bad way. But then the other party takes offense, and they cannot forgive. And they never forgive, and they never want to forgive. And what happens? That relationship that was once so vibrant and wonderful and blessed becomes fractured. And then it becomes this tension. Oh, these two people, yeah, they don't get along anymore. Why? Nobody really knows. But maybe this, maybe that, people begin to speculate. Or maybe they outrightly say, right? There was that time that we were serving together. He was supposed to do this. She was supposed to do that. But she didn't. So careless. So irresponsible. And not only that, you know, she did this, 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 and she asked me to do this, this, this. He told me to, Everyone can spin their stories. And yes, perhaps maybe there was really some faults. Maybe major faults. But can we not forgive? Can we not continue to love one another despite all that happens? Can we not have this unfeigned love for a brethren with pure heart fervently? Can we not be pitiful? Can we not be courteous one to another? Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but instead blessing. Instead blessing. You say, you don't understand, you know, how terrible he was. Yeah, maybe I don't understand. But what I do understand is the word of God here. The word of God here says, don't respond with bad for bad. That's evil for evil, right? You do one thing bad to me, I do something bad to you back. I can never forgive. No, we can forgive. We must know to forgive because we have already been forgiven. All our sins have been forgiven at the cross of Christ. God loved us, and that's why he chose to save us. And love, therefore, now becomes a choice that we exercise. He said, I can't bring myself to forgive. No, you can. You can because you already have been forgiven. And if you can accept that forgiveness from God, knowing that we have done so many terrible things against God, we have rebelled against him, and we continue to keep on sinning against him, and yet despite all that, God has already chosen to forgive us. How can we not forgive one another? How can we not choose to love one another, to be pitiful, to be courteous, to be loving one to another? This is what we have been taught by God. And by faith, we exercise that obedience and we say, yes, Lord, I repent of that bitterness, of that anger within my heart. Help me to love. Can we make that prayer? Can we make that prayer? Then some people say, oh, I don't want to be hypocrites. I don't want to have an unfeigned love and therefore I just avoid him. I can't stand his sight. I just avoid him, right? So I don't smile. I don't have that fake smile and the handshake. I just avoid him. That is not unfeigned love. That is you holding on to that hatred, you holding on to that anger, you holding on to that unloving spirit. That is not brotherly love. We are called to have this brotherly love one for another. One for another. Another passage that we can turn to is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 and verse 9. And he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, that means hate, that which is evil. Cleave, cling on tightly, stick to that which is good. In what way? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Honor, preferring one another. Again, similar thoughts or similar ideas are being brought forward here. That there has to be this love that is without hypocrisy. That is dissimulation here. A pure love, a genuine love, a love that is not forced or fake. It is one without any pretense. It is a true love. And how so? We love that which is good and we hate that which is evil. That we be kindly affectioned one to another, that we have this genuine love and kindness one for another. With what? With brotherly love. Same thing, that same word here, Philadelphia. You have this Philadelphia one for another, with tender affection one to another. And how do we do that? In honor, preferring one another. You respect one another. You defer one to another. You do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But you think of others better than yourselves. You see, oftentimes it's pride that comes in the way. It is when we think that we are so good, we are so great, and then you magnify the flaws of other people, not realizing our own faults and our own problems. That's when we have that pride to hold a grudge. You realize that? You know, to hold a grudge, to be bitter about something, it requires a high degree of pride. Because what you are saying when you hold on to that bitterness and that anger over someone else is that you are so terrible, you are full of flaws and mistakes, all these things that you have done is so unforgivable, I cannot forgive you because I am so good, I am so pure, I am without fault, and you are full of fault, and therefore I'm so angry with you. I mean, that's bitterness. And that's why we hold on to that bitterness. That's pride, isn't it? But he says, no, in honor, preferring one another. Respect one another. Realize that they too are a child of God. And they also have been saved and washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. And just like us, they too are struggling with their sanctification. Yes, they have made mistakes. But it doesn't mean that we can't love them. It doesn't mean that we cannot then forgive. No, instead we must all the more so show love and care and concern. We must love. These are just a few thoughts of which we are taught of God how to love. And as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, right, you have been already taught of God. And so he chose not to write too much about that idea here in 1 Thessalonians, but there are other passages in the Bible that we can turn to learn of how we also can be taught of God on how we ought to love. So these are a few thoughts, right? Romans 12, 9 and 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, and 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Many, many things more that the Bible has to say, but well, these are just a few things that we want to consider this morning. How to love? Well, this is how. With a pure heart, fervently, unfeigned love, that we do not respond with evil for evil, but instead with blessing. Be pitiful, be courteous, compassion one for another, without hypocrisy, in honor preferring one another. Then we move on and ask, now who? Who is it that we are to love? So we see how to love. We saw a number of verses teaching us. And who is it that we ought to love? Verse 10. He says, indeed ye do it. That means you have this love. You have this brotherly love toward all the brethren, in particular, which are in Macedonia. See, as I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, there is a special love that we are called to have, particularly for fellow believers. Yes, we ought to love unbelievers as well. Right? For them, we show that love in sharing the gospel to them. Right? But when it comes to those who are believers, fellow believers, now duty for them, or duty of care, would be to encourage them in the Lord, right? To help them along in that journey of sanctification that we are all together on. And so for them, well, the scope of their love was shown in those around them. So that means all the brethren, but not just those that are in Thessalonica particularly, but also that love extended to all the regions round about them. Now, you must also know that in those days, I mean, transport, right, was not as extensive as we have today, where within a few hours you can be halfway across the world. So for them, the scope was really as far as they could journey and travel, which was, Macedonia. Where's Macedonia? Well, today is actually a country in itself already. But in those days, you referred to the region, so north of Greece, as it was known at that point of time. And so it was cities like Philippi, right? Cities like Berea, right? The first few cities that Paul came to when he went across from Turkey. He went into Macedonia, so it would be Philippi, Berea, and then Thessalonica. These were the first three cities that he came to. And so he says, you see, you began to form that sort of community there, not just in Thessalonica, but then also in the neighboring cities. You showed this love for the brethren to them. And that is what we are called to do also, that we are to have that particular burden of care to our fellow believers, and especially those that we are near to, that we can be in regular contact with, the ones that we can make a difference in the lives of. And of course, it starts here, right? In our community of faith, in our community of fellow believers. But then there may be people that you come into contact with as well, your family, your workplace, your classmates, your colleagues. As a church, right, we also are in contact with other BP churches, other like-minded churches around Australia. And could we do more, perhaps? More in ways and means in which we can encourage one another. I think in the past there used to be some combined youth camps, but in recent years, you know, there had not been much of those. But perhaps we can think of more ways in which we can show love for the brethren, to encourage. Recently, we have restarted to showing some support, monetary support, for some of the faithful organizations in Australia that we do see them doing the work of God for. For example, the TBS, the Trinitarian Bible Society, which is involved in translating and printing many Bibles, right, in particular in many, many languages. And they take a very similar position on the Bible as we do. So we have given them some support because they have a branch in Australia. I think it's in New South Wales, right? TBS or Trinitarian Bible Society Australia. And that is perhaps one way, but just a very simple way of showing love to our brethren, those which are, as it were, in our Macedonia, in our region, in our sort of vicinity. Creation Ministries is another one, also based in Australia, and so we have sent them some support, doing a lot of good work, right, in proving or in fighting for the position of creation, young earth creation, that God literally created the world in six literal days, as is stated in the book of Genesis. But is there more? Whether on a personal level, on an ecclesiastical level, that we can do, because that is what God has called us to do. As we have therefore opportunity, Galatians 6:10 tells us, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. That is our concern. That is the care that we ought to have, the love for brethren. Just as we love one another in a family, and we will go out of our way to help them, can we do that for those who are of the household of faith, to our fellow believers? 1 John is another passage that tells us of this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, it is specifically stated, brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He says, if you see a brother in need, they're struggling, they have a particular issue or struggle that they are going through, and then you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how can you say that you have the love of God? No, we have that responsibility to care, to show love, and to help in most practical ways if we can. And you have the world's needs. That means you are okay. Financially, you're doing well. You have enough to provide for your own family. But then you know of a brother who is struggling or in need. In love, of kindness, benevolence, not expecting anything in return, not having any ulterior motive, you just help out of love, freely, generously, we give. That's one way. That's one way to love brethren. And the Bible calls us to do that, to do good to them which are of the household of faith. Do not shut up their bowels of compassion. That means having no care. Or we just simply say, oh, brother, take care, I'll pray for you. Yes, of course, it's good to pray for them. But if there are ways in which we can lend a hand to help, to support, not just financially or monetarily, but in doing things for one another, if we can, do that. That's love. And who do we love? Specifically the brethren. Not to say that we don't care for other people. No, we do. And that is our testimony as well. Right? We do care for whoever we can be in a position to help. But the priority of care is that, well, those that are of the household of faith. Because why? They are our family. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's what we must do. For one another here, just the one seated next to you, do you care for each other spiritually? Do you find ways and means to see to each other's spiritual needs, to encourage them in the Lord, to exhort them, edify them, build them up in the most holy faith? We do so. And then finally, how much must we love? How much must we love? That line that we have been seeing again and again throughout this epistle. We beseech you, brethren, we plead with you, we call you, that ye increase more and more. Again, that same phrase, right? More and more, abounding, increasing, more and more. it's again a reminder that we can never rest on our laurels. To be complacent and think that, yeah, I think I'm very loving. I remind you, remember that the church at Thessalonica, they were again and again commended for their love, that they're doing well in terms of their charity. Paul himself said that, right? That yes, you are taught of God how to love, and you don't need much more instruction. You know, and you're doing well. But yet he ends off by saying, you can do more. You can do more. We can always do more. Because, you know, you may compare to other people around you and say, yeah, I think I'm doing good in this department. I'm helping. I'm serving, right? I'm very kind. I'm very loving. I'm always out and about exhorting one another. Yes, fine and well. And we thank God for your love. But we must never come to a point where we sit back and say, I'm doing so well, I'm doing enough. Because yes, while we compare to other people around us, we may be doing well, but we compare to the love of God. We know that we fall short. And there are always areas that we can improve. Whether it is in terms of the quantity of how much we are doing, or the quality of love that we show, the genuineness of the love that we have, the depths of compassion that we exemplify. In all these areas, yes, I think we must always acknowledge and admit that there's more and more that we could do to grow in our love. And that is something that we must be taught of God, something that only God can place in our hearts and grant us to do so. It is something that Paul prayed for. It's something that Paul prayed for in verse 12 of chapter 3. He says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another. And that is must also then be our constant prayer. Because we ask, how much can we love, or how much should we love? The answer is always more. More. More love for Jesus, more love for God, more love one for another. And may this be our constant prayer as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning and this call to love one another. As we see concerning brotherly love, may You teach us from Thy word. May You guide us by Thy Holy Spirit. May You enable us to very practically show this love to the people around us. And we pray that Thou help us, enable us, every one of us as individuals, and together as a church, that we will be known and exemplified as a loving church, as one that genuinely and sincerely does care, as one that shows forth the love of God to our fellow brethren. Pray Thou help us, use us mightily to be channels of blessings. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.